Maybe you should go and do some contemplating.
Right reason.
I'm the Bachelorette and I'm rapping to you poolside. Here to find true love.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Rose Buddies.
In this podcast, this groundbreaking experiment in narrative nonfiction storytelling, two lovers dive deep into the kissing and love of other people and themselves in a psychosexual journey
through reality television
that Gene Siskel in 1981 called it not existent yet.
Yeah.
Because we weren't born.
Although in 1982, he called it halfway there.
Halfway there. And then in 1987, he was like, here it goes. And then people were like, you're talking about two babies. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And Gene was like, I'm nasty. What's up? Hi, welcome to the podcast. Welcome back. Did we do an episode last week?
Yes, of course we did.
I mean, I missed the Adventure Zone last week.
We finished up The Bachelorette.
That's right.
Okay. Season one.
I guess I forgot because I think you and I were both clinically dead.
Yeah, last week was a rough one. I always, so this is a little trade secret. I always listen to the episodes back, cause I like to, you know, grow, learn, improve. And I listened to the first 5 minutes of that episode and it made me anxious.
Yeah.
Like just knowing how we felt.
I feel like I could go back and listen to any of the podcasts that I recorded last week and be like, that wasn't prime material.
No.
But things are, thank you very much. There were a lot of people who were very concerned in the Facebook group and we appreciate it. But we're sleep training Henry and it's going really, really, really very, very well. He took two-hour naps today. We are literally different people.
Last night he slept from like 8 p.m. until like 3 a.m.
It was
incredible.
Buck wild. We are, it's literally like the best thing that's happened to me in like such a long time. And we're in much better spirits. And so we apologize for, I don't know, recording while zombies, but,
Although I will say this individual here that's speaking right now is very superstitious.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
point. And now I'm super nervous. We even talked about it.
You're a good, yes. Then let's start talking about the strange love between two strangers kissing each other in Chicago in a show that I and Drew Barrymore and Ellen DeGeneres like to call First Dates. Which, by the way, Drew Barrymore is attached to this project. She was in a movie called 50 First Dates. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
I mean, her whole steez is romantic stuff.
Yeah, I guess so.
So,
do you think when they hit like episode 50 of this one, she'll be like, get it?
Just come on screen and be like,
she'll like come in really close to the screen. She'll be like, get it. Do you also think she will be included in a first date? Is she married? I know she was married to Tom Green for a while, but then she is.
Oh, wow. Your data is very behind.
Is it?
She got married again, and I believe she is separated, if not divorced now.
Okay. Sorry. When did the Tom Green thing break bad?
God, I don't know. 2001, maybe?
It was around Charlie's Angels, wasn't it? Shoot. Oops. Okay. She provides the voiceover for the television program First Dates, which, broad strokes, I enjoyed very much.
Yeah. Yeah, I told Griffin, I don't know that we'll ever talk about it again because it was very difficult to take notes given the number of couples that are on the show, but I will need to watch it probably weekly just to feel good about the world.
Well, that's a lot to put on the shoulders of First Dates. It's been a stink day and kind of a stink weekend, so like it was a nice little amuse-bouche.
Yeah, it just felt like, well, when you watch a lot of reality television like we do, you start to think that people are cartoons, you know?
Sure.
They're just very broadly sketched, you know, characters. And watching this, I just felt like, this is nice. This is relaxing. This is real people.
Real people just like doing their best to accommodate each other. And I spent all day fighting with Twitter randos about the whole United flight thing, which is my own cross to bear.
Yeah, you started that. I mean,
well,
you
United
didn't
start fucking it. Started.
Okay, you didn't
it.
Start it, but you.
I know. I really shouldn't respond.
Lit
to
that
those
building
people.
On fire.
It's too fun to tell people that they should live in a sewer over and over and over again when they whatever. Okay. It was nice to just watch people be nice to each other for a while,
yes.
which they did. I could also see this show opening itself up to the possibility of people being not nice to each other on these first dates. But this was a yeah. a very nice, for the most part, selection of daters.
So a little history, in what I like to call the history corner.
Not okay.
So join me
in the history corner.
Play the history corner theme music at this point here.
I mean, I'll it'll pause. Be like classical music.
I'll
or something.
Pause so you can. So
this room has four corners. One of them is a history corner. What are the other three?
Well, there's the "Can I Steal You Away?"
Can I steal? Yeah. Yes.
Corner.
Yeah. We go to it. Sorry, you probably, it sounds weird whenever we do the Jumbotron spots in the middle of the show, that we're like really far away from the mics. Mm-hmm. It's because Rachel makes us stand in a corner of the room that's very far away from the studio.
There's the corner where we smooch.
The smooching corner, yeah. And then there's the quiet corner where, like, if the podcast gets too much, one of us will just go and kind of stand there for a little bit.
So this show, First Dates, actually started in 2003 in the UK.
As all good shows do.
And they have versions in Australia, Canada, and Ireland as well.
Wow, it's all over.
Yeah.
What is it about dating shows? Because that's like how If You Were the One got started. The show that mm-hmm. I think started in Ireland, but it was called like a different show. It was called something different, and then it was in China, and it was all over. I'm glad it has made its way to the States. I saw some purists in the Facebook group saying, like, apparently the UK version, like the staff at the restaurant were more like characters.
Yeah, you know, when I went to the Wikipedia page, there was a whole section for restaurant staff that I didn't expand.
Although, but I like the bartender here and the
the
maitre d' maybe came on a little strong, but
a little heavy-handed.
But it was still fun. So the premise of the show, it's a restaurant in Chicago. This American version. Obviously.
Oh, we're leaving the history corner now.
Sorry, I didn't mean to yank you out of the history corner. Was there more history in the corner? I looked around the corner and it was devoid of history.
That was it. I just didn't want people to think we were still in that corner.
All right, I'll play the stinger now that lets people know we're getting back to the present. Mm-hmm. It was the Back to the Future soundtrack. It's in a restaurant in Chicago, which I did not recognize.
Called MK?
MK, although I didn't do that much fine dining when I lived there. So you lived in Chicago for a long time.
3 years.
You got your post-grad, your master's degree there in humanities.
Uh-huh. I lived 2 years in Lakeview and then a year in Hyde Park when I was doing grad school.
And I lived there for a year in Roscoe Village. And one thing I actually like thought about, and obviously my experience was not like this show, but like Chicago is like the only place that I did online dating, obviously before we met.
Oh my gosh, we should do an episode about that.
I don't really want to.
Because only Griffin did it, and then I wouldn't have to share anything.
Yeah. I don't know that that would necessarily be fun for me. Also, I only did it like 3 times, so it's not like there's a lot of content there. This was also like before Tinder, and I feel like, Jesus.
Yeah, kidding.
The 3-year swing between when I online dated and people started using Tinder. Like,
gosh,
the
I can't even imagine you using Tinder.
I wouldn't be good at it. I'm 100% sure. But Chicago, I think Chicago is like a good city for this to be set in because like there's a lot of like singles there, but also like, it's cold 12 months out of the year. And so people just want somebody to snuggle.
And it's a very walkable city. So
very walkable.
Well, I will say that there are a lot of people from all over the country, which made me curious, which is, like, how would that work?
Yeah. Did they fly them here to Chicago to do this show?
There was somebody from like Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I'm like, what is your...
Love the way you say Chattanooga.
Chattanooga.
Yeah. You like drop it. You like, there's a diphthong in there. I'm a big fan of.
But yeah, it made me wonder, like, well, are you setting them up for a long distance relationship or what's happening right now?
Well, I think the people who were from Chattanooga, there were two of them. They were trying to like Noah's Ark them one by one. I'm pretty sure that's how it was working. So this episode, I think there were 5 couples or 6 couples that did not know each other. 5 couples that did not know each other. They walked them in the door. They were blind dates, which like online dating's not really blind dating. Actually it's the fucking polar opposite because you kind of get to know like everything you need to know before you pull the trigger. Who sets them up? Drew? Is Drew? Drew's like, I got this.
There's a lot of we. There's a lot of royal we. Like we match fucking, these couples.
Okay. It's the love doctor. It's the same one that does it for Are You the One?
They're paired based on, quote, their likes and dislikes. That's as much detail as we get.
I guess so. And then they go to this restaurant and they have meals and,
there's a bathroom cam.
There's a, well, which is not Jesus, as, babe.
Not as gross as it sounds. There's a camera in the washroom, where at the sink only, you can see people making.
Thank you for designating that.
You can see people making phone calls to their friends about how the date is going.
Yes. And the show is structured as such that, like, it's not like all five dates start and then you see all five dates in the middle and then you see the end of all five dates. They're kind of like a waterfall. So, like, as one is ending, usually, like, another one is beginning, and there's usually, like, two running concurrently. And usually after the dates are over, we get a confessional cam where both people in the date sit down.
Have to, in front of each other, say whether they'd want a second date.
Yeah, which even in this first episode led to some pretty hysterical conflicts, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole tone of the show is like very charming and fun. And there's a maitre d' who's very like love boat cruise captain.
Mm-hmm. And a bartender who's like very chatty.
And a bartender who's like yeah. The bartender who's very chatty, but also there's a bit where like one couple is being kind of uncouth at the bar. And like, I half expected him to like goof it off, but he kind of just gives him a stare down like, don't, come on. This is a nice restaurant.
Yeah. And that's another thing I wanted to say. It does seem to be a very nice restaurant.
Very upscale restaurant.
Not like they're sitting over a plate of nachos or anything.
There's nothing wrong with that. I would watch that version of the show too.
I know.
I would watch a show called Nacho Party.
It just kind of sets the tone, like, of a more like elegant evening.
You're not even curious about Nacho Party. It's my direct competitor to First Dates, Nacho Party. Eight strangers sit around a giant bowl of trash can nachos. And
do you want to describe what trash can nachos are for the uninitiated?
Just use your imagination, because it's either going to be as good as or better than you're envisioning okay. it right now. Big bowl of nachos, eight strangers all just diving in. And you're just eating them and talking and getting to know each other. This is the first round. Maybe okay. having a few like margaritas, like loosening up and just like having a good time. And there is a like a double dare challenge flag somewhere in the nachos.
Okay.
And if you find that,
it's kind of like Fear Factor.
Sort of, but they're fucking nachos, so it's like, yeah. if you're, why are you, I'm actually kind of afraid of yeah, like a big thing of nachos, because yeah. it might make me ill. But you find the flag, and then you get to ask out one of the other
people,
and you get like solo time, right? And then if you don't find the flag and you don't get picked, then there's six people left at that point. They bring out another tray of nachos.
No.
And you have to keep going like that until the last couple's just like paired up. And that's going to be the worst date, because it's like the dregs. But not only that, they've eaten at that point four whole canisters of trash can nachos.
What if the flag is like the exact same size and color as a chip? So you don't even know until
you bite into it.
You put it in your mouth.
This is a tough one. Oh, it's not a tough one. Doug, let's go.
That means like you have to eat them. So there's no like rooting around for the flag. Like you have to put each chip in your mouth.
There's no amount of money I wouldn't pay to watch that fourth date of just like, what did you say you do?
So you can't leave even if you don't like who's left at the table?
I mean, you got to be like polite about it. But you've just eaten four giant canisters of nachos. And so it's just like,
I walk dogs. I'm a dog walker. I need a hospital.
Okay. We're about 10 minutes in. You want to start talking about the show?
We've been talking about the show Nacho Party. It's coming this fall on ABC Freeform.
Who's the celebrity behind it?
The celebrity behind it. I'm so glad you asked.
Uh-huh.
Alfred Molina. No. Maybe? No.
Wait, who's Alfred Molina?
He played Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 2. But he's been in other things. He's a much more prestigious actor than Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 2. It is Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Is it? Tony Shalhoub presents Nacho Party. I brought you more nachos. That's my Tony Shalhoub impression.
I just picture the intro. He's like standing in a big bucket of nacho cheese.
I mean, it would be Guy Fieri.
No, he's got enough stuff going on.
You're right. He's too busy. We wouldn't want to load him down.
Let's give Tony a call.
Let's give Tony Shalhoub a call. The thinking man's Guy Fieri.
Romance speaking, Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about the first couple.
Okay.
Okay. Alyssa and Mike. Alyssa is a ad exec. She's 25. And Mike is 23. He's in PR.
These are locals. These are Chicago locals, correct. I believe.
Mike The first thing we know about Mike is that he brings his own very old fancy champagne to be served.
This is a bummer, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I'm not a part of that world that I would even think to like, your drinks aren't good enough. Here's one that I got. That's better. Can you keep it cold for me and then bring it out and try to impress everybody? Thank you.
The other thing we learn about Mike almost immediately is that he's a virgin.
Yes, he says something really, like his reason, I do not want this to come across as a judgment of people who are like, yeah, I just don't want to have sex until I'm married. Like, cool, that you do you.
Yeah.
But he says like, I'm a clean guy.
I'm a clean man.
I'm a clean man. Like, okay.
Yeah. It's kind of gross to
That's
phrase
kind
it
of
that
a,
way.
It's kind of a viscerally like gross way to of putting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he talks about how he doesn't want to do it till he's married. Doesn't want to do the dirty deed.
He kind of has this attitude of like, hey, I've made it this far. If it takes another 3 or 4 years for me to find somebody, you know, that doesn't seem like that long at this point.
Sure. No judgment. Hey, go do it. Do it, man.
Alyssa, on the other hand, refers to herself as a serial dater. Which, you know, I we don't find out about her virginity.
God, babe.
Sorry. Griffin was taking a drink. I just think it would be interesting if every single person that was introduced.
Including the fucking like 75-year-olds who were like, yep, I'm virgin. Deal with it.
I am not a virgin.
I am super not a virgin. I'm 75. Handle my flavor.
My name is Julian. I'm 27. I've had sex 19 times.
19 times. Deal with it. With three people.
So should we, because they hop around a lot, but I thought maybe we just stick with one couple and move on,
or else we'll lose our minds.
Okay. So they immediately, because they're Chicagoans, talk about the Cubs.
They're North Chicagoans, so they talk about the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. She does not like the Cubs. He does.
Tale as old as time and as boring as fuck. Did you watch that? There's some police procedural that came out that was set in Chicago. That was like, oh my God, this is going to fucking kill me. It came out while I was living in Chicago. And
Chicago
so I,
Fire?
No. That's not a police procedural. They don't arrest fires in that show.
Well, no.
They can arrest arsonists, I suppose.
There was a Chicago show about people that worked in an office, too.
It was like a police procedural where there's this detective, this hard-nosed detective, and there's this corrupt alderman. But it was like, it came out while I was living in Chicago, and like, I remember me and Jeremy, and I think Landry probably watched it too while we were living together, like, loved it because it would be like, hey, yeah, I like deep dish pizza. And I'd be like, yeah, that's us. I'm a Cubs fan. Well, I'm a Sox fan. That's like us. We say those things.
Yeah.
Been to the art museum? I know that. The one with the lions. I know it. That one with the lions on it. Chicago.
Chicago.
Just hop on the brown line. I do that one.
Yeah.
It was a bad show, though.
Yeah, there are a lot of Chicago shows. I'm not sure why.
I don't know that there's been like a good Chicago show in a bit.
I liked Chicago Hope a lot, but I guess that was
Missed that 20 years ago. That was 100,000 years ago.
While You Were Sleeping is a good Chicago movie.
It is a good Chicago movie. There's some good Chicago. I mean, fucking Hughes. What's his face? Fuck me.
Oh, John Hughes.
John Hughes. Those are all good Chicago flicks for the most part. Mm. No good Chicago TV shows, though, because it's all about just like, hey, go Bears, right? And then they just look at the camera for 20 minutes.
When they meet Alyssa and Mike, they do like a little spin. She's like, I feel like, I don't know if he says it. There's a spin. One of them spins the other.
She's like, I feel like I should spin you. And so she spins him and he's like, now let me spin you. And then he spins her. And it's also very much like, I don't know how to touch you. Mm-hmm. So let's just run into each other and see what happens. Oh, a spin. Okay, we're spinning. We're spinning and we're spinning.
I find that very relatable.
Absolutely. Hyper relatable. Yeah.
This is the first time we get to see the compressed melon.
Yes.
Which is brought out for every couple because they're all in the same restaurant.
Yes.
And then this is where Mike reveals that he has never been on Tinder. And he said that he doesn't really date very often. He likes to just hit ladies with his pickup line. And so she, of course, asks him what it is.
The pickup line.
Do you remember?
God.
Do you have asthma?
Because you have asthma. And she says, All right, good for you.
Yeah.
Just a really good response to that. Not a good pickup line.
Alyssa tells us at the beginning, and I think it's absolutely true. She's like, I'm really good at dates. And I think that she exactly is.
It's a fucking, like, it's a skill. Like, you, it's a skill as much as, like, being sociable.
Yeah.
It's a skill because it is being sociable, but, like, with these 1,000 invisible pitfalls with you literally, like, all around you everywhere. And, like, knowing where those pitfalls are and how to avoid them and be, like, I think a really good thing about her is that she's very gracious and that, like, when he kind of stumbles into one of those pitfalls, she's like, let me help you out of there a little bit.
Well, and she, like, at the next point, she comes up with this just because they're having an okay time, but it does feel kind of awkward. And so there's a huge leek on his plate. And so she's like, I dare you, put that whole thing in your mouth. And he, like, he's game for it, and it's, like, a fun thing.
She's
like, let me take a Snapchat of you. And, like, he has the whole leek in his mouth, and she takes a picture.
Can you imagine just a big rubbery leak up in there in your grill?
I like leeks.
I do, too, in small, like, when I can control the portion size of the leak. But I mean, a big rubbery leak working on it?
I just thought it was a fun suggestion. It kind of broke the ice a little bit.
Broke my heart a little bit. Think about eating a big rubbery leak for, like, 10 minutes.
This is when the champagne gets brought out, and you can tell she's kind of like, oh, neat. When he's like, yeah, I brought that. She's like, oh, you brought that? And then she tastes it and she's like, oh, it's good. And, like, you know, they're just kind of being polite at this point. And then they move to the bar to enjoy their champagne. And this is where they really connect in a more, serious way. Mike talks about how his dad died when he was 12, and it's made him kind of closer to his brother because he had to play more of a role model figure. And this is really meaningful to Alyssa because Alyssa has a really strong relationship with her dad. And so they just kind of talk about that, and all of a sudden they're, like, connecting in a more, like, serious way.
Yeah.
And Alyssa, like, it just really resonates.
She gets really emotional, she's just so close to her dad and can't, like, imagine. Yeah.
And so then they have their little confessional. They both want to go on a second date, and we get to see them walk out to the car, and he does a little spin, and he's like, that's going to be our signature thing.
And they kiss.
In the car, and they kiss, yeah.
And then they make plan, like, do you want to just go to a bar? And she's like, yeah, let's go to a bar. And so they just get in the car together and go to a bar. Which is the only date of these that I think has a sort of continuation that we see. We don't know. Maybe most of them just go like, all right, cameras are off. Let's get wild.
Oh.
Let's go to the love motel.
You want to talk about Kenny and Christina?
I do want to talk about Kenny and Christina.
Okay. Kenny.
Let's skip them. Yeah, of course I want to talk about Kenny and Christina.
Kenny is 29. He's a salesman from New York. Christina is 34. She's a military veteran.
We also found out about Kenny later on, which I think, like, just to sort of set the stage a little bit, when he was one.
Yeah.
He's a Ugandan refugee, and his dad died when he was really, really young. He was a soldier over there.
He was
a prisoner of war and was executed. And so... Kenny is his family's from Uganda, and he talks about that. And it was such a, I don't know, it was like kind of a, it was a pretty tragic backstory about his father. And I only, like, point that out because he was, like, a pretty, like, jokey dude for the rest of the time.
Yeah, like the first, like, I don't know, like 80% of their date was just messing with each other.
Yeah.
And then it got really serious.
Yeah.
So he is walking with a cane at the time from a basketball injury that we don't ever really find out much detail about. Christina is over 6 feet tall, and says that she needs, quote, an alpha male.
She talks about how, like, dudes will, like, try to come up on her and say that they want to try to climb the tree. And she's like, nope, fuck that. No, thank you.
Yeah. And so she walks up and sits down, and the waiter comes out with the compressed melon, and the melon that they're serving is watermelon. And Kenny immediately starts making jokes and saying, like, oh, you brought watermelon to the two African-American people.
So this was like, and it was like, these two were like really like their, I feel like their sense of humor was so similar because immediately like, and it's maybe like, it was a really good icebreaker because this was like one of the first things he was saying to Christina. Like, and so he's like, Christina, you hear me, right? We're on the same page here, right?
Yeah. He's like, are you going to bring out grape soda next in Jordan's? And she is just cracking.
Just like head
up.
And hands.
He's like, oh, did you think about that? And she's like, no. She goes in the bathroom after that and calls her friend and says, he is me with a penis.
She says, I'm not going to bring him around the family, I don't think.
Yeah. But then she like kind of casually talks about getting shot up and he's like, wait, what are you talking about? And that's when she realizes that she's a military veteran.
Or she realizes she hasn't told him that she's not, she's, oh my God, I'm a military veteran.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
She talks about being in the Army and Navy, and she kind of bristles because at first he's like, oh, you're so pretty for military. And she's
only because that's a totally bullshit thing to say. About?
And you can tell he kind of realizes. He's like, I'm used to seeing you all in uniforms with your hair all tight. And that's when he talks more about his experience in Uganda and his connection to that and his family. And so they kind of like get through that murky water.
Yeah.
But yeah, they joke around a lot. She like gets up to use the bathroom again and he like says, oh, perfect timing. And she's like, why are you gonna, you know, like are you gonna do something weird when I leave? And he's like, oh no, I'm just gonna watch you walk away. And she's like,
just like, don't stare at my ass.
No. It's just a nice moment. And so they,
Also, I think there's a way where that sounds kind of gross. It was like, it was very playful.
No, they were on the same page.
Yeah.
And so she, at one point towards the end of the date, is like, do you speak French? Because a lot of,
oh, this was fucking great.
A lot of like African people speak French. And he says, no, but I speak some Spanish. And then he speaks a little bit of Spanish that's like, you know, kind of,
it's pretty
okay.
Good. It's better than I took Spanish for 6 years and it's better than I can speak Spanish.
And then she kind of hides the fact that she is much more fluent than him.
Right. Her whole thing was like, oh, well, if you can't speak French, like you have nothing to teach me. And he was like, well, I speak Spanish. And he starts speaking. He's like, so I can teach you Spanish. And she's like,
and then he's like, what do you have to teach me? And she's like, oh, I also speak Spanish, and tries to have a conversation with him, and he cannot keep up.
I think he can keep up, but he's just like so like shattered. He's like, oh, I thought I had this trump card to play.
So they go to the confessional, and they get asked if they want to have a second date. And she's being really kind of like sarcastic and jokey with him and acting like she didn't really have that good of a time. And he's like, well, if you don't agree to it, I'm just going to
There's some poor taste jokes. There's a Silence of the Lambs reference that
And like stalker references.
Maybe could have done without, but
So he kind of, he says he'd want a second date, and then I think she eventually admits,
also says, I'd like to go on a second date.
And
too.
As they're walking out of the restaurant, he talks about how she had him sweating in there. They seemed like a really, really nice.
It was really fun.
They were really, it's hard to tell because these people that they're matching seem so compatible.
Yeah.
Which doesn't always work.
It's not like a lot of, it's not like Are You the One where they just kind of like, there's a compatible person in there. And then by the end of the season, it's like, what the fuck were you talking about? Like, the people that they match up seem like, I don't know. It seems like almost all the dates are like good. So I think that like whatever algorithm they're using is decent.
It's very clear. Like within the first few minutes, you can always tell like, oh, that's why they were matched up.
Yeah.
Before we go on the third date, Griffin, can I steal you away?
It went down there at the end. I did it. Can I try it in a minor key, actually?
Okay.
Jump, 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 jump. Oh. It was all fucking the funeral dirge.
I think you had some extra chounts in there.
No, I think there were the proper number of chounts. First up in the Can I Steal You Away, we need like a proper noun version. We have an advertiser this week. They paid us money to talk about their goods and services on the show. That's also not very fluid.
People suggested like the palapa, the money palapa.
Money palapa is really good and bad also at the same time.
It's weird
to say. Good bad sandwich.
Yeah.
Our first sponsor is Try the World. They're the
sound a little like Owen Wilson there.
Try the World. Come on. Come on, it's me, Try the World. Try the World, they bring the world to your doorstep. Every country, every culture is unique, and food is one of our favorite ways to explore them. They'll send you all kinds of snacks, 5 all-natural healthy snacks from 5 different countries in each box. They work with niche producers.
I say niche because
they send you Frederick Nietzsche's work. And it's just a box full of very sad stuff. They will enhance your snacks, your afternoon snack rituals with something exotic and also good for you.
Yeah, things that you wouldn't necessarily think to try if you saw them at the grocery store. And I got to sample some of these.
Yeah.
They were all very healthy and very good.
So go to trytheworld.com and get $10 off your next box of healthy snacks with the code ROSEBUDDIES. Thank you, Try the World. Hey, go try the world. That's their tagline. They just say the name of their company. It's a weird tagline.
That is weird.
And it's also not their tagline. I don't know if they have a tagline. Maybe they're waiting for a good lover podcast to help develop something like that.
You want to hear some Jumbotrons?
I would love to hear some Jumbotrons.
This message is for Brianna from Marissa. And the message is to my sister Brianna on her 29th birthday. This is the grown-up version of the boosters I used to buy you in the marching band competition programs.
What are those? I didn't do band. I don't know what boosters are.
But you know what it's like to buy an ad in a program.
Yes, absolutely. From theater.
That's what that's like.
Okay.
Okay.
It's like, hey, Dylan, do a great job up there. You're the best flying monkey in this whole production of Wizard of Oz.
Take that and rewind it back.
Whoa.
Here's to another wonderful year in Brooklyn, hopefully not encountering any boys like Dan Daniel, the haircutting serial killer. Dan, Leo, and Avi all send kisses and hugs.
Sweet message with like kind of a rap break in the middle of it, which I thoroughly enjoy in my Jumbotrons. I have another Jumbotron here. Can I read it?
Yes.
Nope. This one's for September 19th. I can just do this one, but I probably shouldn't. Here's a personal message. This one's for Sheldon, and it's from Christina, who says, to my wonderful bear, thank you for moving across the country to be with me and our turkey bum dog. You mean the world to me, and I can't wait to start our life together and watch Hell's Kitchen / Terrace House / Jersey Shore every night eating ice cream. I love you more than anything. Happy cohabitation, heart. Actually, this was not a typo. There's a new show called Hell's Kitchen, Terrace House, Jersey Shore. And it is absolutely wild. It's about a very rough kitchen. But it's a new season of Terrace House also, and it's in the Jersey Shore.
Gordon Ramsay, Hansan.
Hansan.
And The Situation.
The Situation. Was that his name?
I think so.
Are you sure it was The Situation? His name was The Situation?
Yeah, because he used to like point at his abs and say that.
That was his situation?
I don't know. I didn't watch the show, but I remember there was a guy.
Tell me other situation. Things you remember about Jersey Shore, because now I'm fucking in it.
And then there was Snooki.
Everybody knows Snooki.
That's it.
Come on. You can give me more.
No, that's all I know.
Make up some things about Jersey Shore.
Oh, okay. Well, it took place in an amusement park on the Jersey Shore.
A haunted one? Abandoned?
No spoilers, Griffin.
Oh, no. 3 of the kids died in bumper car accidents and were ghosts.
Snooki was
one of the aforementioned bumper car ghosts.
Was under a spell.
Oh shit!
And she could only be released from that spell if she put right what once went wrong.
Okay, so there's a quantum leap element.
Yeah, so quantum leap. Scott Bakula leaps into the situation.
And he was like, this is a spacious one. There's a lot of boy here for me to sort of live in.
Yeah. And he helps Snooki conquer her fear of roller coasters.
Wow, shit.
Which then release her ghosts.
Oh, that's sad. That's also not how Quantum Leap works most of the time.
I kind of forgot what I was doing halfway through that.
It was fun for me, though, as the listener.
My name is Patrick.
My name is Parker.
Max FunCon has been a huge inspiration in my life.
Now I have this network of friends that I've made that span literally across the entire globe, and they're some of my favorite people in the world.
I truly cannot believe the amount of wonderful and lasting friendships that have come out of this.
If you feel like you might not fit in, as long as you're a good person, you'll fit in because everyone there is good and amazing and kind and wonderful, and you should absolutely go. It will be the best decision of your life.
Make a ton of new friends like Parker and Patrick at Max FunCon. Tickets for Max FunCon and Max FunCon East are on sale now at maxfuncon.com.
Before we start on this next couple, I wanted to kind of put you on the spot.
Oh, fun.
And ask you how you thought you were dating. Because we were talking about how Alyssa was such a good dater. And I feel like you would be good, too.
I was good. Yeah, I was very...
I feel like you're good at, like, asking questions. And...
Here's where I'm at. I'm very... I'm a very considerate young man.
Yes, I'll agree.
And I was very quick to, like, sort of pick up the... some of the rules of dating, like there is...
Well, you're a big rule guy in general.
I am. I just like following sort of the societal expectations of you, because it's not that fucking hard to do it. It's like not hard to Google. What's the good... How do you... Like there's shit like splitting the check, like, or handling the check or whatever. There's like... That part of it didn't stress me out. Mm-hmm. But if I'm being completely honest, there are some things that did stress me out, like... I never really knew how much like physical contact was good or expected.
No, I felt that in our dating relationship.
Yeah, because I didn't know like... it's our first date and you've just showed up, and then like, I hope I don't sound like a big fucking nerd, but like, is it a hug? One of these?
Definitely not a handshake.
Not a handshake, it isn't. And then at the end, it's like, that's 10 times harder because it's like, is it a kiss one?
Oh man, that makes me uncomfortable thinking about you.
Yeah, bud.
Dealing with that.
I never fouled it up, right? I didn't like, you know.
I feel like you're good at reading clues.
I am good at reading clues, but I would be, there was a point where I would start getting very anxious. And then once I started to get anxious about that stuff, it would throw off. Because I'm good at like carrying on a conversation and like, talking to strangers for the most part and listening. But like once I start, once we get to like the check, my mind starts going like, oh man, what do we do? Are we supposed to go somewhere else after this? Am I supposed to like call a cab and like, do we kiss? And then I bounce. And then like, if we do kiss, how does that affect the next date? And like, what does that mean? That kind of shit, like, I was not good at. I really wasn't. But I think I was a very like nice dude to like go and have a couple drinks with and talk to. But I only did it. I think I only went on dates with like three women while I was out there, and only one of them did I go on multiple dates with.
Oh,
but it was like two or three.
I didn't know about the two or three date.
Yeah, what I think happened? One we went to get drinks, and then one we went to see the fucking.
Is that the 27 hours date?
It was much more than 27 hours that the man was pinned under that fateful rock before he cut.
Hours.
Yeah, which is not a good date movie. And I think that was it. I think we may have just only gone on two. That's actually, it. Yeah,
it's a set of tone.
And the other dates him and I think were just one offs. But I'm glad I did it because it was like, I don't know.
Yeah, see, I never did that.
Yeah,
like, before I met Griffin, I was in a very long-term relationship. And then when Griffin and I had started dating, I had only been single for about 4 months. So I hadn't really gotten kind of serious about dating yet. And Griffin was kind of my first relationship after that serious one. So I just never really did dating.
Yeah.
Which became very clear to me when Griffin and I decided to go on an actual date, and I was a sweaty, nervous mess the entire time.
You really were.
I realized while we were sitting in the restaurant and Griffin reached over to hold my hand, I realized I had never actually really been on a formal date before.
Which is so fucking shitty, man.
And I just suddenly felt incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, Griffin and I were in a good place. It didn't change anything for us. It was it was awful.
I think it's a good life experience to have. I also think it's like, it's fun. It's fun. It's like hanging out and meeting new people. Like I enjoy that, and not under the like pretenses of dating. Like now, like I like really like meeting new people, and that's kind of what dating is. I will say it's bullshit in that like when I was in college and I wanted to date, I had no fucking idea how to.
Yeah.
And then once you start online dating, like online dating is a whole different thing, and it is like so much fucking easier, because I think I'm good at going on dates, but I think I'm really fucking bad at like initiating it. And when you have internet doing that for you, it's like a different thing. Because there was like a couple years there where I was like, time to go out, let me go out to the bar and see if I meet anybody. Oh, nope, again, of course. But yeah, should we talk about our first date? You were just, not a lot happened. We went to a fairly nice restaurant here that was known for their nice desserts.
Yeah.
And then I had to get gas on the way there, and I spilled gasoline like pretty much all over my pants.
Yeah.
And I stank so bad.
Yeah. The smell was pretty intense.
It was very overpowering.
And then we were going to go to Barton Springs, right?
Were we? And then we got rained out.
We got rained out.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what we did.
I think we went to Grayson Bristol's pool and swam in that instead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's very, very romantic. And then, you know what happens after that. A little bit of that. And some of that. And a little bit of that. Oh, no. And a little bit of that. And a whole bunch of that. Cowabunga, dude. And some of that, my wife. And some of that, my swamp. And some
okay, please stop. I was gonna sit in silence until you stopped. But you really got me with my swamp.
Okay, so to walk you through all of that, we watched, we played in the mud. And then we watched an episode of The Simpsons, hence the cowabunga dude. And then we started to watch Borat, but we bailed and watched Shrek instead.
Oh, you really put a narrative together.
Yeah.
I thought you were just...
We did not make love.
Can we move on?
Sure. Yeah, I don't think anybody's still listening, but...
David and Annie.
Yes, okay. Sorry, it took me a second.
David is 23. His bio tells us that he is a part-time writer. We don't know what he's doing with the other part.
No.
And then we
if he's living in Chicago, he's working at Groupon. No, he's from Seattle. Yes.
He is from Seattle.
Which means he works at Microsoft.
Or no, well, Annie is, so yeah, I guess he
Yeah, they
too.
Both are.
Annie is 23. She's a social media manager. So David brings roses, first of all. He, like, gives them to the maitre d', and I guess they, like, whisk them away for later in the evening. He says that in his previous dates...
That's a fucking... I'm sorry. I'm just not thinking about it. That's a fucking called shot. Bring these out later, because this is going to go so good that she's going to wish I give her a present.
Why not bring them out first?
Yeah, that's a... Yeah, again, I don't know.
It just becomes awkward when
or
it's
Or better
later.
Yet, don't bring them out, because it's kind of a whack first date thing, I feel like.
You know what? I don't know.
No, babe, it's kind of a... No, babe, it's pretty bad.
I guess it's a pretty large bouquet. If it was...
A dozen
was
roses.
Just like, what if it was just, like, one flower?
If your production like, of you Les Miserables just opened up, you would bring flowers to that person on their first date, but otherwise, no.
So David says in previous dates he's been thrown up on... that he always kind of gets categorized as a nerd, but he doesn't think he is one. And he says there's all these like nerd types out there now, like Benedict Cumberbatch and quote the guy that plays Spock in Star Trek.
I actually believe that he's not a nerd if he can't pull that dude's name.
Yeah. What is his name?
Oh shit. I can't pull that dude's name.
I know I can't either.
Which means I'm not a fucking
nerd. Is that
our
test?
Yeah, that's it.
And then we see him at the bar waiting for her to arrive, and he's, like, practicing his voice. He's like, oh, I'm all up in the high register right now. How does this sound? How does this sound? And, like, keeps trying to get lower and lower and lower, and then it's like, never mind, I'll just go high. And we learn that Annie thinks that she is kind of a nerd and is just looking for somebody that she can just, like, hang out with and both be on their laptops and be fine together. And I think, you know, at first I was like, oh, maybe this will work. And then the more you find out about David, he talks about his flip phone and the 30-second Tetris demo on it.
This was amazing. He talks about, like, he says, I got lost in Chicago for like a half hour yesterday and didn't get home until like 2 a.m. She's like, you couldn't get maps out on your phone? He's like, oh, I don't have any. Pull out, it's like Nokia Razor. And he's like, I don't have maps on this. And he's like, yeah, you know, I just don't see the point in upgrading. I have everything I need on here. I have the Tetris demo. I can only play it for 30 seconds at a time. But why would you want to play Tetris for more than 30 seconds at a time? Which was insulting to me deeply.
He tells her this is the nicest restaurant he's ever been to. And they kind of, they order together. He gets...
Oh, man. He says, what do you think I would get? And she says, the vegetable tagine. Am I saying that right? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I've never ordered a tagine in my life.
Me neither.
And she says, that sounds good. I think I would like to have some of it. And she, like, simulated her reaching over the table to, like, grab some of it. And as she does, he reaches up a fist. And she, like, just kind of stares at his fist. And he's like, I thought you were fist bumping me. And she's like, no, I was just... going to do that. And he's like, a high five? And she was like, what? No, this, no.
She like, I think she's trying really hard because she's like, oh yeah, I'm kind of totally a nerd. And she's
that
like,
doesn't mean anything.
She's like,
context,
I hope you don't judge me. And he's like, oh no, I won't judge you.
You can be a nerd and be good at dating. Like,
yeah. Well, I think she's trying to say like, she's trying to like get on his level, trying to be like, I realize like he seems a little bit nerdy and she's trying to be like, oh, hey, I am too. Let's be more comfortable together. But it doesn't really work. He at one point forgets her name and calls her Amy instead of Annie.
Bad move, Jack. Bad form, Jack.
Shortly after this is when the roses are delivered. and they're having fondue together. And at one point, David says, I'm fondue.
That's very good. I enjoyed that. Thank you, David. Okay. That was a treat for me. Thank you. I'm a big fan, David, of your work. Great stuff.
So at the end of the date, they go to the confessional and they're sitting there together. And there's that question of like, would you go on another date? And Annie's like, well, I mean, I had a nice time, but I just don't really think there's a spark.
And then David looks crushed.
David's like, oh, I would have done another, but okay, no, that's fine. I mean, you know, not everything works out.
We see her about to get in the car and he's like, can I Facebook friend request you? And we do not hear her answer to that question.
Yeah.
We fast forward. It was kind of sad. It was pretty sad. It was pretty sad. This was like the first date that you saw that they didn't like really go for it. And you could, I don't know, in my mind, I was thinking like, oh, he's such a goofball and he's screwing up all this stuff. But, you know, she'll still fall for him in the end. And she was like, no, that was not comfortable.
Part of it is that we never really find out what he likes. I mean, maybe it happens when they're not on camera. But, like, I have nothing to hold on to with David other than, like, the really awkward stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if I found out, like, oh, he's really into, I don't know, butterflies or something and, like, knows all about all the different kinds, it'd be, like, an interesting thing. And I think there's somebody out there for you, David.
Yeah.
That also likes butterflies.
Somebody using a Nokia 8900 or whatever. He's like, you want to play Snake? Let's go. Hey, you have a flip phone? I'm still using the solid tablet one.
That was me just like 3 years ago.
That was you just 3 years ago. Yes, I agree. I saw you print out directions to a place once.
Yeah.
And we still got married.
Yeah, I was still doing that in like 2012, maybe.
Unimaginable.
Yeah. Richard is a writer and musician and a naturalist. And Jeanette, I actually don't know what Jeanette does, but 65. I mean, she may just be retired.
Sure.
But we learned that Jeanette has a bucket list where she wants to jump out of an airplane, go scuba diving, and ride in a hot air balloon. And Richard says that he's kind of a, what did he say, like an odd bird?
An odd duck. He's also a very, very hirsute man, which we find out the reason for later, and it is heartbreaking.
And at first, you know, like she, just in her appearance, she just kind of seems like a little more button up. But he really wins her over right away, and then she kind of admits, like, you know, I like odd ducks.
Yeah.
And they have just the sweetest, most wonderful conversation.
He talks about how there's a difference. He considers himself a naturalist, but there's a difference between a naturalist and a naturist.
Yeah.
And a naturist is somebody who's like a nudist, I guess, which I've never heard that terminology before. And a naturalist is somebody who's just like all about the, like being connected with nature. He says, but at the same time, if I was naked and out in the woods, I would be totally fine with it. And she was like, hell yeah, ride dirty.
No.
She says that word for word. Hell yeah, ride dirty.
They order, and right after they order, He talks about how he's kind of either he or she. Somebody says they're a wandering spirit.
Okay.
And that's when they both realize that they really want to go to Ireland and have a real affinity for the Irish.
He busts out an Irish accent that kind of got my hackles up. I don't enjoy that so much when people do that.
But it was, I mean, you know.
It was charming. She was into it. And he talks about how he speaks French and how when he was younger, he would seduce women with his French knowledge. Only he would say nonsense sentences like, my sister is a happy pencil.
Yeah. Neither of them has ever been on a blind date before, and neither of them has been on a date in 40 years.
Right.
And Jeanette tells us, the viewers, about her previous husband being in a lot of pain. We don't really find out much more about that. But Richard tells the story of his wife. And he starts to get a little emotional and he says, you know, when she was in chemo, I shaved off all my hair and then she passed and I've just been growing it out since then. It's kind of how I measure time. Which, you know, gets Jeanette very emotional.
And me very emotional and you very emotional.
Very emotional. And they really kind of share a moment and she kind of says something like, God bless you or something, and reaches across and holds his hand. It's a very sweet moment.
It's very sweet.
And this is where Richard says maybe the best thing ever. He says, I think there's two things you should do with somebody before you get married. You should paddle a canoe together and you should hang wallpaper.
So fucking...
So dead so on. So genius.
It's especially sort of... that stuck out to me because we've been watching Amazing Race.
Yeah.
And the season of Amazing Race is, so Amazing Race is usually like, two people that know each other very well travel the world together. So like romantic partners or family members, or like just best buds. Like
father, son.
And this season, it's just strangers, just like randos that pair up in the first episode and run. And watching like strangers try to paddle a canoe together is like, oh no, you're doing it so bad.
Yeah.
You and I are really good at it. I feel like we've gone out paddling a couple times.
We have. I feel like you did the majority of the paddling until your back really started
hurting.
My
back fucking went out because I'm 120 years old.
Was this our first date? This was definitely a date we went on earlier.
This was not our first date. I would not let you see me do physical fucking activity on our first date.
We definitely did it early in our relationship.
My donkey. My swamp.
Did you think my swamp would work a second time? Because it will not.
My swamp!
No.
My swamp.
No.
My swamp. My swamp?
Okay. All right. It does. It works.
Baby, can I do something?
Yes.
Can I get on my phone and look up who the actor was that played Spock?
Yes. I was surprised that you had held back this long.
I was trying to do it earlier, but you were looking at me like you were mad at me. Yeah, that's what he looks like. Who's the fucking... What's his... Zachary Quinto.
Okay, that was the loudest time you've ever...
No, look, you can look at the sound waves and see it wasn't that loud. Zachary Quinto was his name.
Well, it startled me.
I scared you by saying Zachary Quinto.
It was so loud.
I'm sorry I shouted Zachary Quinto at you.
Please don't.
An inch away from your face. I'm sorry I got up, ran across the room, put my mouth right in your face, and shouted Zachary Quinto.
I was in the quiet corner.
You were in the quiet corner. I was mad because I was in the history corner and I wanted you over here. And so I leapt at you and I shouted Zachary Quinto right into your open mouth. And I'm very sorry. But Zachary Quinto is the actor.
Yeah, by this I never point, would have pulled that.
By this point, dear listener, you've almost certainly tweeted at me the name Zachary Quinto. And I want you to tell you, I want you to tell you that you've been redundant.
I want you to tell you you've been redundant.
Zachary Quinto. He was on Lost, wasn't he? Quinto.
Maybe. There were a lot of people on Lost.
A lot of folks were on Lost, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. You want to name all of them?
Michael. No, I can't.
Matthew Fox.
Matthew Fox, not Michael Fox.
That Evangeline Lilly?
Evangeline Lilly. Who is the handsome one who played Sawyer?
Oh, Josh.
Josh.
Holloway?
Maybe. And then Hurley, who can forget him?
And there was Dominic.
And Michael and Walt. And the dog.
No.
Do you remember John Locke? He was spooky sometimes. And the smoke monster.
And Benjamin Linus?
Benjamin Linus was good. Or okay. Was he bad? He was very bad.
Spoilers.
I think he was good sometimes, though. Show got confusing.
You want to do the last couple?
I would rather we not. But let's go ahead. They just didn't do it for me.
No, I know. Catherine and Woody, both 27.
You remember Woody from Lost?
No, remind me who he is.
He's the cowboy toy. It's stupid.
Catherine says she's a 7-time bridesmaid. She has concerns about her eggs getting old. And this is her first blind date.
All right.
And then Woody is a carpenter, has a very long, bushy beard.
Big, bushy beard.
He says that he doesn't need a woman that's a supermodel, but he thinks he's pretty attractive. And so he'd like her to be attractive, too.
This is one where, like, the algorithm maybe didn't seem so hot. But at the same time, she also said, I want somebody completely different from the people that I've dated. Mm-hmm. And so this dude definitely seemed different from the people that she's dated.
Is she kind of her opener? They're, like, sitting at the bar having lots of drinks. And at one point she says, wine makes me crazy. Champagne makes me psycho. And I've had both. And he's kind of like, all right, here we go.
And she tells the bartender, says something like, can you get him a shot of tequila? And he's like, how about 2 shots of tequila? And she says, no, I've only eaten half a granola bar tonight, which is actually pretty great.
She also says that she is a vegan by day, but a carnivore by night. But she says that usually when she is eating meat, she is not sober. And then he says, I won't force you to eat my meat.
Yipsy, yikes.
She puts her leg out so that he can feel her calf. And she says, normally I'm more fit than this, but I've just had surgery. And he asks her about the surgery. And she kind of pauses for a while and then kind of gestures towards her chest region.
And at this point, there's a rapping at our window, and it's the rapping of my bony hand as my skeleton peeks in just to check on how we're doing, just to see if it's safe. And he's like, nope, still not safe. He said, I left when I heard the meat thing, and I was like, I thought I could come back in at this point. There's been a full commercial break, but no, it's still unsafe in here.
No, and he's like, he's just kind of like, oh, I was really curious about those. You know, I can see them, and I just was curious.
I mean, she says, yeah, these are fake. And he says, well, I can see them, and I'm not going to touch them, but if I can see them, then they're not fake. That's what he was saying.
Oh, I see.
You just had a yuck face on your face. Yeah.
Then they both...
Not that there's anything yucky if you augment your body, whatever. No, of course not.
I do find conversations about it a little
conversations on first dates about it with this level of frankness maybe a little.
So they're having lots of drinks, and he goes to reach for his wine and accidentally grabs for the vase. And she makes a joke about it. And so then he picks up the vase with a flower in it and drinks the water out of it. And then she does the same, which I thought was kind of charming.
She was like, ha, you're going to get us kicked out of here. And the bartender's just like staring at them like, what the fuck are you guys doing? this is a 5-star Michelin restaurant.
And then this is where she makes...
I don't think Michelin gives out 5 stars, actually. I said that and I realized it was wrong.
I don't think so. And then this is where she makes the Wedding Crashers reference.
Oh my God. It's 2017.
Says something about like, if you leave me,
I'll find you. Yeah. And he says, that was scary. I mean, I get the reference, but it's still scary. And I'm like, I mean, it's not scary. It's just like a reference from a movie from 1990 BC.
And this is when, like, I think he's trying to figure out, like, is there any hope for us? And so he talks about how he, like, likes to go out in the mud and the outdoors and canoe. And
weird that there's a canoe discussion.
I know, right? She's not really
not
into
interested.
It.
No, thank you.
And then the check comes.
And it's a thing.
He doesn't open it yet, just says, like, I'm not going to look at it. I just want to see where you're at on this. And she says, well, I think the man should always pay. And he looks at it and then decides to go to the bathroom. And she's like, are you going to run out on me? And he's like, no. And so he gets in the bathroom. He calls his buddy and says, it's like a $200 check. She wants me to pay. I think I'm going to have to get out of here. But then he does come back, and proceeds to tell her, oh, it's just so expensive.
So much money.
I want you to look at this, and like makes her look at the
receipt. This is the worst way to handle this, by the way. I don't know that there's an agreed upon like all time best way to like,
yeah,
like handle the
check.
He could
have just been like, this is a lot for me. Would you mind helping?
That even would have been fine. That would, but not to be like, look at all this.
Like, are you I just want you to know what I'm about to do. And she's like, I have hairpins that are more than that. This isn't a lot of money.
There's a lot of conversation happening here.
So they get into the little after confessional booth. And for some reason,
oh, at this point, also when he reaches over to like put the check down, he knocks over like this huge glass of wine
on her phone.
Yeah.
They get in the confessional booth. She comes in and she like puts her hand all over his face. And she's like, yeah, it's him. And it kind of seems like, oh, they have a fun thing happening.
Not to me.
I don't know. I thought like maybe this is like a fun, kooky couple.
It struck me as these are two people who are on a television show and acutely aware of it and have no idea what to do with their hands right now.
So the producer asked them, are they going to go out on another date? Do you want to see each other again? And he just very frankly says, I do not want to see you again.
There's also this cute buildup where they're like, you go for it. I was waiting for you to go. And he goes, I absolutely do not want to go on another date.
And she's like, oh, I thought I was ready for marriage, which I
like
was funny.
Goofing, like obviously joking.
And then he's like, well, you know, but the sex would be great. That was kind of a weird
kind of
thing.
Weird, yeah.
But she's like, well, I guess she's like, no, that's awful. We're going to have to get divorced. And he's like, what are you talking about? We're not married. She's
real
like, yes,
Sam and,
yes,
Sam and Diane vibe between these two. Is that a good? Did I reference it good?
Yeah, no, that's right.
I haven't watched. Cheers.
Yeah, that's how you say the show. Cheers. Cheers. Question mark.
Where everybody knows you. Sometimes you want to go.
So those
you
are
the ones that I use everything you got.
Those are the five first dates.
Those are the five first dates on first dates. We're not going to do this one again, though, because it would after a while, it would just be like, name, did this to name, and it was so
wild. Many couples. I will continue to watch the show. I loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I liked it. It was you and I like pleasant TV. We do. Like, that's our whole fucking aesthetic now these days. It's like,
that's true.
Either comfort food TV, like Buffy, or just like pleasant tone.
Terrace House
only, which we are slow dripping that fucking second chunk of episodes.
Yeah, we still haven't finished the second chunk.
Please don't spoil it. Can we say, lots of people, I get, like, we want to have a discussion, and we are very diligent about keeping the spoilers away from people's eyes. But sometimes I see spoilers because we don't approve the post, and it bumps me out because I don't want to.
I know. I finally released some Aloha State posts. That I've been holding for a while.
I guess it's been a while.
Because I figured, all right. I mean, I hate to release spoilers, but
people want to talk, and I get it. I'm excited too.
Yeah.
Zachary fucking Quinto. Can't believe it. You're just so good. I'm losing my edge, babe. Younger man would have pulled Zachary Quinto, no problem. I want to thank folks who've been sending stuff to the P.O. Box. We have a P.O. Box here in Austin. It's P.O. Box 66639, Austin, Texas, 78766. I don't know why I'm slurring so much. I've had like half a beer tonight. I think we're just still a little bit worn out. Specifically, Kathy sent us a really nice corn-based cross stitch that says, my heart is gold, but my vagine is platinum. Casey sent us a movie that is supposed to be very Bachelor, Bachelorette inspired from, I think, like the year that show started.
Yeah.
It's not the movie The Bachelor starring Chris O'Donnell.
No, although we should watch that at some point.
Should we?
I'm just too curious.
Have you not seen it?
I have not
seen it. So funny, dude.
You haven't seen it.
I've seen it, but I saw it a very, very long time ago, and it probably wasn't very funny.
Okay.
I think he, like, puts out an ad in the newspaper that's like, if you marry me, I'll give you $1 million. It's like just like a bunch of women, like, trying to marry him.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Is it?
No, not at all.
Yeah, thank you to everybody who's sent us stuff. We really appreciate it. We get a lot of really sweet letters and really sweet. I got to turn my phone off because now I'm just looking at Henry pictures. We get a lot of sweet letters and wedding invitations and stuff like that in the P.O. box. And we really appreciate them. We don't respond to nearly any of them, which I apologize for, but we really do get a pretty large volume in.
Oh, and thanks to Erica Huff who sent us.
Oh, yeah.
For the Max Fund donors this year, you could get a rocket-shaped candle.
Yeah.
And she sent us some that smelled like roses.
It was really sweet.
Really nice of her. Thank you.
Go check out all the shows on Maximum Fun. Go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the podcasts there. There's really good ones like One Bad Mother and Stop Podcasting Yourself and Jordan Jesse Go and Beef and Dairy Network.
Baby Geniuses.
All really, really
lady
good.
Lady to Lady.
There's a ton of really good ones. All at MaximumFun.org. If you want to hear other podcasts with us in it, go to McElroyShows.com. Check them out there. I think that's it, right?
Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Rachel McElroy.
When you're ready.
Rose, stay with us on this journey of joy.
Spoiler alert!
She ends up with Soulja Boy.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
And we host the first podcast ever made, My Brother, My Brother, and Me.
Every Monday, we put out the first ever advice comedy podcast ever.
They found our podcast on Dead Sea Scrolls.
We're the Hammurabi Code of podcasts, and we're ready to entertain you with jokes that we invented, the first jokes.
So join us every Monday on MaximumFun.org.
You'll never crack our code, Dan Brown. Just try me.
It's history in the making.
And in the faking. And it's all yours for the taking.